This last chapter is entitled Miscellaneous and includes some miscellaneous thoughts that I've had that you might be interested in. The hubris meter. Hubris is defined as unjustified arrogance. I'm not sure whether there is any time that justifies arrogance, but we can live with that just definition. I noticed a number of years ago that an owner of a business began to strut the walk of hubris because of what he had accomplished in his business. And then evil things happened to him. He lost 3 big orders in a row and had to lay off personnel as a result. Something had happened, and I noticed similar occurrences with other clients. In fact, these same things happened to me. I would get arrogant about some accomplishment, and bad things would happen. A project that I expected to get would fall through, and so forth. So I figured out that there must be a god of hubris. He stands in the heavens with his hubris meter and is continually searching for the world for those whose hubris indicator had passed some unknown level. When the hubris indicator goes off, the victim suffers big time as a result. Although I'm joking here, there's a certain level of truth to this old adage. Be careful of who you step on going up the success ladder, because you never know who you may need on your way down. When I mention this to my clients and my business friends, they all laugh, not because it is nonsense, but there is a certain level of truth to this. All of them have fallen victim to the sin of hubris, and they all felt that they were victims of the god of hubris's wrath at some time. My message is this: enjoy your success, but don't become arrogant. Your clients and prospective clients will sense hubris. Trade show rationale. A number of years ago, I managed some engineers and could never get them to deliver products on time. I was desperate to get them to deliver a product to meet a schedule that was good for the shareholders. The engineers could care less. Then I had a bright idea. I went to the engineering team and told them that if they got the product done on time, the whole team, all 6 of them, could go to a trade show in New Orleans to make the product announcement. They got excited about it, and because the trade shows was 2 weeks before the targeted delivery, the product was ready on time. So when you look at the training of engineers, how did they get A's on their report cards? They did their homework assignments each week and got A's on the tests. But they were trained over 4 years of college or university work to know that if you didn't get your problem set in on time, you were in trouble. And most engineers look at the assignment to get the product development complete for the trade show as just another deadline, like a homework assignment, and they get the assignment done. But if you ask them to get it done to meet corporate profit objectives, they could care less. This is not an accident. Think about it. How do we ever get anything done? We have a deadline that we believe is critical. In my private life, I know that if I want to get a patio finished, I will encourage my wife, or maybe she just manages me the same way I manage the engineers, to have a party. Patio gets finished. It happens all the time. So after all these years, I know that if I want to get something done, I set an artificial deadline and then work everyone involved to get the deadline completed. But the engineers and trade shows is very interesting. I went to Comdex in Las Vegas 25 years ago and asked about 20 CEOs exhibiting new products at the show. Would any of the products that you are showing today have been completed without the deadline of the Comdex trade show? In every case, the answer was no. The trade show made it happen. So my conclusion is this: if you want to get a product completed on time, find a trade show that is in a city that the engineers want to go to. Make this trade show about 2 weeks before the product really needs to get done, and make that a target for the engineering team. The new product will get done in time for the targeted delivery. I rest my case, it works. And a final thought. When we talk to people at various clients that we have had over the years, a single issue emerged. We continually asked, what is it that managers want, employees want, customers, suppliers want, and unions want? What is it that all of us want? And it was a big revelation to me when it dawned on me. We all want respect and clarity. With respect, we are dealing with most the fundamental of human needs. We made sure that the war on waste delivered earned respect to all the participants. Respect is a one-way street, but earned respect is the premium in that it requires both parties in the process to contribute positively to the exchange. We employ the term earned respect because it is not an acknowledgement that is freely bestowed. It is earned, and that is critical here. We hope that the reader will try to understand the complex nature of running an organization and how lost most employees get in the bowels of any company. So, when CEOs initiate an energy initiative or any activity that allows employees to gain earned respect, they are doing a great service in spite of all the difficulties that I have pointed out. The effort will be worth it. As for clarity, what more can I say? We live in a world of obfuscation. Nothing is what it seems. Sales promotions bait and switch. Raises are gobbled up by the cost of living. Employees live tribal knowledge paradox, and on it goes. So when CEOs communicate to employees, I urge simplicity and above all, clarity. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed reading The War on Waste Innovation to you. Stay tuned and we'll include the War on Waste Paradox, a story about a worker who goes through the war on waste. Thank you very much.